Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes?
Would you kindly ask me what is the most important thing about doing quality radio?
Todd, what is the most important thing about doing quality radio?
Timing.
Todd, what is this, the most...
okay, go ahead. Let's finish the shtick. Go ahead. Here's the whole bit.
Todd, what is the most...
Timing. But the first one was more appropriate because after talking about the kids and their cell phones and their brains getting rewired from that and the Wegovy business and the Ozempic business, which also impacts their brain, you said something that I thought was helpful. A little too late. What was your observation?
They're connected.
In what way?
Well, obviously, we know from all of the studies and all of the information that we've gathered over the years that the cell phones are affecting, especially how teenage girls look at their body image.
Yep.
They're compared. It's
boys too.
Yeah.
Predominantly girls, but also boys.
Yeah. Yeah. But they compare themselves to the Instagram and the you know, the models and the filters and all that stuff.
Yep.
Well, I think that's exactly why they're taking this Ozempic stuff.
So they can lose weight to look just like those fabulous people on the social media machine. Yeah, I think that's it. A lot of this stuff is interconnected. We're raising our kids differently. We are living so differently than we ever did. And we never even consider pumping the brakes and saying, is this really a good idea? Is this really going to help human flourishing? The only person that I've heard talking like that, and I don't know everything he's saying these days, so this is not an endorsement. This is just an observation that Tucker Carlson is pretty relentlessly saying, hello, is anybody thinking about, you know, people? Even I think I just saw him have a pretty vocal diatribe against the current economy. Hey, people, young people, they can't buy houses. I think like the first time you can buy a house now in America is at the age of 38. I think I've got that right. Marriage, it's being pushed up. Kids aren't having kids because they're afraid and the global warming is going to burn us all up. What are we doing to human beings here? We need to be thinking about it when it comes to economy, when it comes to technology, when it comes to advancements, when it comes to industry. What about people? We need to come first. It doesn't mean that we become Luddites and we reject every sort of technological advancement, but it does mean we got our priorities straight. And that is, the priority should be people made in God's image. That was kind of catchy, if you don't mind me saying so. Speaking of people, there are over 600, almost 700 people that are going to be distributing the Play the Man cards. I don't know what got into you, but wow, a lot of people are signing up fast. This is the last day. We're probably going to end it where you can order them on like August 1st or 2nd. So make it snappy. If you would like for us to send to you absolutely free the Play the Man cards, these are the cards that have the QR code that will take a student, a young man, to a link, a website page that has a booklet called Play the Man. It's PDF, it's an ebook, it's a video, it's audio. And Jimmy, somebody sent an email and said, what about Spanish? Why don't you have it in Spanish? And I went, I think we can, because these days you throw it into the AI machine. It still needs to be proofed by a human being, but nevertheless, you throw it into the AI machine and bada bing, bada boom, it's in Spanish. So we could do it in Hindi. We could do it in any language. So we'll start adding those things so that when they hit the QR code, they can find help to be delivered from pornography. And of course, that help is, it's not a theology. It's not a system. It's a person. Jesus will help them break the chains that keep them in bondage, feeling shameful and creepy and isolated. The booklet is called Play the Man. If you would like to pass out those cards to university campuses, they come in packets of 250. It's absolutely free, including the shipping. And Jimmy, I think tomorrow is the big sale starts, right? Uh-huh.
Yep, the store is closing.
Yeah, don't buy anything today. Wait until tomorrow. I was just over in the warehouse. If you've ever wanted to buy our stuff, but didn't want to spend the money. This is the shot, because we're cleaning out the warehouse because we're not going to sell stuff anymore. Everything is going to be electronic and free online. So excited about that. For instance, Transform Season 4. It is going to be, we release an episode each week. I think the current episode is a very nice couple. They're floundering because the kids are grown up. And they are like, who are you? Why am I still with you? What are we supposed to do here? Sound familiar? It is a common malady. And Dr. Lou Priolo guides them through that to help them navigate so that a woman's child-centered marriage can be a Jesus-centered marriage. And then the two spouses will be happy. You can see that for free at fortisplus.org. And you'll be able to see everything for Jimmy. We're going through boxes in the warehouse.
I know.
We made a lot of stuff around here. I didn't realize some of that we had on there, atheism. It's called atheism. It was the debate with Dan Barker at the University of Minnesota probably 20 years ago. So if you'd like to see what my son looks like, you can see that debate. And I think we might be giving it away or selling it for like 99 cents. All of our stuff. And oh, by the way, if you have been wanting to get some of the books that we encourage and we endorse at our website, fortisinstitute.org, biblical counseling books, just great, great resource stuff, you will never find it cheaper anywhere. Not kidding. So don't buy anything today. Wait for tomorrow. And then you could even order your cards for free and get to a university campus and pass them out, because the boys are buried in pornography and they want help. Was just reading an article. I don't know who the fellow was. He's a campus evangelist. And he's talking about how the reception of Christianity is different than it was, which is right in keeping with what I've experienced. Going to campuses, it used to be pretty typically, there was always an edge to it. Now, okay, a kid might go away, don't want to talk to you. That's so rare. Most of the kids, when you talk to them, it's not this confrontational, antagonistic, put your fists up and, hey, what about this? And there's the crusades. And they want to know. They've got more of an attitude of, I've heard about this Christianity thing. Apparently, it's done a lot for Western civilization. What do you know? Did I mention that it was Carl Truman? I don't think I shared this formally on Wretched Radio, but I think I might have alluded to it. He was writing about the current desire for what he calls the sacred, that young people in particular, they don't want cool and hip anymore. They want something that feels different, which is why so many of them are being attracted to Eastern Orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism, anything that feels liturgical or ancient, they're digging it, because they think that just the accoutrements, just some of the rituals make it sacred. Well, it doesn't. What makes something sacred is if, first of all, God identifies it as sacred. Second of all, we are doing a sacred thing from the heart, not just trappings and incense, bells ringing and priests parading. That isn't sacred. What's sacred is the worship of God rightly. And churches that are doing that, they are growing. The churches that aren't doing that, they're just shriveling, which actually brings me back. Thank you for the segue, Todd. Brings me back to chapter 14 of Play the Man. It's called Behold the Man. This is an encouragement for the man and the woman who's stuck in pornography to behold Jesus. Because what you will see in Jesus is the opposite of what happens to you when you look at pornography. Do you recall shared a list of all of the effects that pornography has on a man, took that same list, it's about 10, 12, 15 descriptors, and then asked the question in chapter 14, is that what Jesus is like? What does our master look like? Is he one who is weak and wimpy? No, he's strong and mighty. Was Jesus creepy? No, he was so not creepy, little kids clamored to get on his lap. He was not a shriveled man. He grew in stature, one with whom the Father was well pleased. He wasn't isolated like so many guys who look at porn are. Wonder why they're lonely. They don't want to slink out of the house. Jesus wasn't that way. He was surrounded with people. Jesus wasn't out of control. He wasn't emotionally exhausted. His thinking was wired rightly. He wasn't a monster or a perv. He was the opposite of those things. He didn't grieve people, disappoint them. He didn't descend in stature. He didn't abuse people. He wasn't selfish. He was anything but a failure. And that is the key to overcoming sin. Stare at the man. And increasingly, when you see him in all his, I'm going to use the word beauty, you'll become like him. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered book that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move his truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Salute! This is Wretched Radio. Well done, Beach Haven Church of Athens. That would be in Georgia, not in Greece. Although there is one in Greece, if you want to be technical and nitpicky, which we do because we're conservative evangelicals. The point is there's a church located in Athens, Georgia called Beach Haven Church, which I hope starts a trend. It's a Southern Baptist church, and it appears that they're going back to their roots of being soul winners. And so they've come up with a challenge for their members to initiate 10,000 gospel conversations to usher in a culture of evangelism. Now, that is something I think every church should consider doing. No, you don't want your church to be known just for one thing, unless that one thing, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if a church becomes that church doing that thing, the people who don't like to do that thing or don't feel gifted to do that thing will feel excluded. And that happens pretty regularly in churches. These are all good things, by the way. But a church can become, oh, we're the adoption church. We're the pro-life church. We're the food pantry church. Sometimes it can be a biblical counseling church, which, by the way, Alpharetta Bible Church is a biblical counseling church. And guess what? Speaking of Alpharetta Bible Church and biblical counseling, people were prophets when they said, get ready, because when you open the doors and you announce to your community that you have biblical counseling, you're going to be booked up fast. Yeah, that's happening already. And we have, I believe, 5 counselors, and they're getting booked up because people, they want the Bible applied to their situation. They want, it ain't working. The secular stuff ain't working. And so we discovered, as so many people said, get ready, you will soon have a waiting list. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. And if you're interested in your church having biblical counseling, which is something in the years ahead we are going to endeavor to try to help churches do, how do you go about it? How do you cultivate a culture of care? Well, it takes a lot of things to do that. But having said that, you don't want that to be the only thing that your church is known for, where it's the perpetual emphasis on that. I think because it'll make other ministries sort of feel like, oh, I guess we're just in the back seat here. Everything is about fill in the blank. All they ever talk about is fill in the blank. Having said that, you still want to be emphasizing good things. And I think that we just need to watch our balance as we go about the business of creating a culture of evangelism. It's not the only authorized activity of the church. If a local church is doing any of those aforementioned things, those are good things, and they need to keep happening. We don't exclude one because we're all hot on the other one. That's to impose my thing on your thing and override your thing because my thing has become the church culture thing. So let's emphasize evangelism without it excluding other ministries. But right now, I don't think we're in danger of that, are we? I don't think most churches are really promoting evangelism. And that's why to this church in Georgia, I say salute, because they're making an effort to activate their people to start talking about Jesus. And from my experience, I don't think there's ever been an easier time to do that. That's why we're going to campuses in the fall. That's why we're going to do bigger events on campuses, because when we're going to find out, I think that the kids are going to come because they want to, not because they think that they're going to see a showdown and a fight, or I'm going to get that conservative speaker guy and show him who I've studied sociology. And then it gets filmed and put up on video where the student gets slammed by a speaker. And we don't want to even come close to that sort of tone. We want to present a tone that says, hey, you're trying to sort it? We'd love to talk to you and help you. We think that we've got something really good for you. Would you come and give us a listen? And I think that they will come. Time will tell, of course. Now, whether or not you want to initiate a 10,000 gospel conversation sort of crusade, can we use the word crusade in any context? anymore. Nevertheless, might I encourage you to follow Athens and not to be a religious people with multiple gods, but to follow Athens, this church in Georgia. What could you be doing in your church to encourage people regularly? You really need to be keeping your eye on the Great Commission. What can you do to share the faith? What can you do to propagate the gospel? Are we doing things in our church that encourage that? We've got a team at our church. They go out every Saturday to the farmer's market in Alpharetta, Georgia, and they're evangelizing. And one of the things that that little team does, it reminds everybody. So if we're in Bible study and they bring up, hey, could we be praying for this guy that I witnessed to at the farmer's market? Guess what it's doing? It's encouraging a culture of evangelism. Not as the only culture, but as a part of the culture. Is your church focusing on evangelism? Southern Baptist, which this Athens church is, they used to be soul winners. Now we're doing just so much sheep swapping. People are just moving the furniture around the deck. We need to be going and making disciples. So salute to Athens. Some potential good news, if you're a Christian, according to Gallup. After 3 years of stagnation, it looks like people don't hate the church as much as they used to. I think this is another one of those signs of the times that says, I think people are more receptive. I think people are more open to hearing about Christianity. This is from Gallup. 36% of Americans, this is up 3 points. Okay, it's not great, but it's at least moving in the right direction. Say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the church. If you go back to 1973, it was 66%, where about half of what it used to be. Okay, not great, but it appears we hit the bottom and now we're bouncing back up. And I think that's reflective of the trend that people are like, okay, we're interested in Christianity, but the Christianity that they are interested in is not a worldly Christianity, because they can get the world delivered better from the world. They don't need us to ape the world. They want something different. They want something robust. There was an article that I read in the Christian Post. Former Queen's chaplain. So apparently during Queen Elizabeth's reign, this guy was the chaplain. Thanks for explaining that, Todd. He laments apostasy in Anglicanism, stating there's nothing at the center. And that's why it's collapsing. People know it. They get it. They see it. They see those glorious buildings being turned into condos. They see discos happening inside of their lovely cathedrals. They see the... Well, I was reading another article, somebody claiming just there's perhaps a lack of consistent morality amongst the clergy in Anglicanism in Great Britain. And people see it and they know it. And they know that they're jettisoning their values and that they're changing and they're compromised. They know it. It's fascinating because the world screams to the church, compromise. For instance, pick sexuality, pick women's issues. And then as soon as the church capitulates, what do? They think that that church is worthless because they've given up their traditional values. So my point, I guess, is don't give up on them values. Don't lose the center. Don't be a silly church. This is from this particular fellow. It will become hollowed out with nothing at the center, wrote the chaplain, because they have £6 billion investments and our buildings. They'll keep a show going in the more dramatic places. Now, this guy's since become a Roman Catholic. That's not the point. Which is why he became a Roman Catholic, because apparently he thinks that they haven't been hollowed out at the center. But he's recognized that the people at these church, at the Anglican churches are leaving because there's no Anglican church. Another article that I think encourages us to stay conservative and, dare I say, liturgical. Church discipline no longer practiced in most Protestant churches. We've jettisoned that because we think it's mean. I think the world sees that and goes, wait, you do what? Do you remember I just made the comment moments ago about the kids at St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis? What was the big lament that these kids had besides the health issues and being able to play and being with their friends? They lamented that mom and dad never disciplined them because they knew that discipline meant mom and dad care. ditto the church. If we don't do church discipline, you know what it says to our members and to the world? We don't really care. We aren't that serious. These issues are not a big deal to us. And guess what? The world says, got it, not interested. And they go and find a church where discipline is being practiced, where the core, the center isn't hollowed out, where they hold on to their traditions, not in a dead sort of way, but they sing old stuff. They quote dead guys from centuries earlier. They talk about councils that took place 1,000 years ago. And that is what people are being attracted to these days because they've had enough of the world. It is time for us to put a stake in the heart of the seeker-sensitive movement. The statistics are in. It has been an utter failure. Be a conservative, liturgical, traditional, high-minded church that disciplines. And guess what? You're going to grow. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.